This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. Ryan, are you looking to boost your immune system?
I'm so ill that I fainted right before we turned the show on.
I hate to hear it, but I do think I have a solution. Introducing Mighty Muscadine, king of the superfruits.
Sounds like a superhero.
Well, these guys are practically superheroes. Every single one of their products are packed with organic polyphenol content, essential micronutrients, and I'm telling you, these grapes are just dripping with antioxidants designed to strengthen your body's defenses. It's going to help you stay resilient all year round.
And these guys have everything. They have grape juice, they have all natural energy shots, protein powders, they got seed oil, toothpaste, body lotion, shampoo, and here's the best part. You can use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products.
And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. So don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now, that's mightymuscadine.com, and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away. With that said, let's start the show.
Hello, everyone. Today is Tuesday, January the 9th. I'm Ryan Hill.
John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact at clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. We watch it like a hawk every day. And listen, we've been appreciative of all the 5-star reviews that we've been getting and the nice comments. You know, someone named us their podcast of 2023.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm gonna find it and read it after the break. But again, we are. Where was that? What did I say already? You can leave us some. We're gonna leave you guys some links in the description so you can do everything we're asking you to do. And today's verse of the day is coming to us from Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty."
Well, I love that we talked yesterday about, you know, Christ being there at creation, and then now, you know, Jesus in Revelation says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega,"
right,
the beginning and the end. He is the frame of creation and
yes,
beyond.
Yeah.
He is everything. That word, that term, almighty, mm-hmm, we just kind of throw that around sometimes.
And yeah, he's powerful.
It loses its meaning if you say it enough times, but
yeah,
almighty, he is the one. He is the most powerful. He is over everything. He is sovereign over all creation. I mean, we can't overstate
right,
his authority.
Right. Your existence revolves around him, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
Whether you acknowledge him as the king or not, everything that exists revolves around the centerpiece, which
right,
is Jesus Christ. And we really emphasize Jesus Christ as well, because a lot of people will just say, well, just God is everything. But God is this ethereal, mystical force to them, you know, this higher power.
Mm-hmm.
But to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, it puts specificity and it puts agency to your faith, and it puts you in a camp. And a lot of people today are loath to do that. They don't
yeah,
want to put themselves in any specific place or camp.
Yeah, well, and the Bible tells us that God the Father has given all authority to Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ is the one.
That's right.
Not that there's any division or schism in the Godhead, in the Trinity, but God the Father has said, I have given this position of prominence and authority to Christ because of what he has done for not only humanity, but for the world.
That's right. Let's just take a deep breath. Breathe it in. Blow all that out, because it's Tuesday.
It is.
And you know what that means. It's time for the Gripevine.
Welcome to the Gripevine, everybody.
Welcome to the Gripevine. Boing.
We got a hard shift out of like deep theological truths into complaining.
You held a lock in the other day.
I did.
You wanted to play some Kahoot.
I did. All right. So for those of you who are listening and you have no idea what a lock in is, number one, why?
Well, yeah, were you never in youth group?
Number two, a lock-in is where you get a bunch of teenagers in youth group and
right,
you just hang out all night, mm-hmm, literally. Some lock-ins, people go to sleep. I say those lock-ins are lame because you just stay up all night.
Yeah, that's just a sleepover.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's not a lock-in. A lock-in is you're going to stay up all night and you're going to regret it the next day.
Right, right.
So ours, our New Year's lock-in, New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Tons of fun. We had like over 70 students there. It was a great time. One of the things that we did was play 2023 Wrapped, which is a a themed Kahoot, and it's about all the things in 2023.
Now, there's some old Kahoots listening to this right now saying, what in the world is
what
Kahoot?
What is a Kahoot?
All right, so Kahoot...
Back in my day, we just threw sticks.
Kahoot is a trivia platform that you can create these trivia games online, and students, through Wi-Fi, log in with their phones, their devices, and use that to select their answers, and it's a competition. It's a trivia game. Yeah. We hosted Kahoot. Great. Love that for us. Wonderful time. So students are logging in and you create your username.
Brilliant.
Here's where I made my critical error.
This is what makes Kahoot fun.
Here's where I made my critical mistake. There's a room of 70 teenagers hopped up on caffeine. Okay. The promise of staying up all night is laying before them. They're hype. They're having a great time, as they should be. That leads to some names chosen for Kahoot profiles that are, I'll put it this way, in a church setting, less than desirable.
Here's my advice, because I was a teenager who put inappropriate names. We didn't have Kahoot, but we had things like, we had Jackbox, right? And that was on like Xbox or whatever. I was only a little young. I was like college age. But I also was an inappropriate namer. And we had Worms. It was Worms Battlegrounds. So you could name your own Worms.
But
Live wouldn't let you put inappropriate names, right? So you need to get clever. The names have to sound inappropriate, but be nonsense. That's my advice. If you're out there, if you're a teenager and you're playing Kahoot games and you want to be inappropriate, use Dife Muffin or use Peef Rimgar. Those they will give you that little
they hit the ears harshly,
so
but they don't
to
mean
where
anything.
It'll get you the reaction you want without having to break the rules.
I want to ask Dr. Shaw if he's ever encountered. I'm working in the education system. I would imagine that he has encountered teenagers trying to do mischievous things.
100%. He was a teenager. I'm sorry. He was a teacher and then a principal, so he 100% dealt with that.
Write in and let us know if you were that teenager or if you've encountered teenagers doing that. Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Avedon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right. We're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Avedon Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shaw, a lot of people don't know that you were once a teacher. A school teacher and a principal. Did you ever deal with, boneheaded teenagers doing
you
things?
Knuckleheads.
Doing things. So I don't know if you ever played these like Kahoot type games or these. Remember, we used to play the Jackbox games where we use your phone and stuff.
Yep.
And we always would kind of put funny names. Do you ever have to deal with teenagers putting names or doing stuff like that? That's just like, why would you do that?
Yeah. Oh, constantly.
Just completely inappropriate for a Christian school.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was not in a Christian. I was in the public school at first.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I became a principal at a Christian school. And then, I even just recently finished teaching physics at a Christian school.
That's right.
Yeah. For a brief time. Yeah, they would do stuff like that. Yes, they would.
You know, we talked about that a little bit yesterday when we were looking forward to this episode. Like, be careful who you surround yourself with.
That's right. It matters.
It really matters because it can
put you in an uncomfortable position.
If you're around the wrong people in life,
I mean, I'm not saying they're just teenagers. It's kind of a silly example. But, you know, as you get older and as you mature, if you really surround yourself with the wrong people, oh, man, you can land in some hot water.
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, that's what we're talking about today. Today is a special birthday. Not of anyone in this room, though. So I didn't bring any cake, unfortunately.
I thought you were about to pull the cake out. Even though it's not my birthday, I was going to lie and be like, go along with it. Like, oh,
no. No, oh, today, nice. today is President Richard Nixon's birthday.
Mm. That's right. Yeah. The 37th president of the United States. Mm. Yeah.
He's sort of misunderstood, I would say.
Well, yeah. There are things that you have to, in retrospect, go, well, that wasn't right.
Right.
Yeah.
But then there are also accomplishments that he made that were great. Mm-hmm. And so we're not here to make someone look better than they were, or we're just acknowledging history.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we do on Clearview Today Show is that we talk about the history and what we can learn from it. So this is about learning from history rather than cleaning up somebody's life or making it look better than it was,
right.
Or also making it look worse than it was.
Right. Yeah.
So this is maybe some of that conversation today. Was it as worse, as bad as people made it out to be?
Yeah.
The accomplishments, the good things that he accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go, no, when you look at historical facts, facts are facts.
I think you said this from the pulpit one time, but it really encouraged me. It's like, well, if you ever feel bad about the company you keep, remember that even Jesus himself had one rotten apple in his group.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus, the Son of God, had somebody who betrayed him.
Like, yeah.
Right there with him.
Wow.
Well, talking about his accomplishments, President Nixon, 37th president, there are a lot of things, a lot of good things before we talk about, say, Watergate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody immediately goes to Watergate.
It's almost synonymous, I feel like. When you say President Nixon, it's just that, immediately after that, and the Watergate scandal.
That or the this on the White House, the peace sign.
Yeah. 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 Or I'm not a crook.
I am not a crook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things, a lot of good things. For example, in 1973, he ended the draft, moving the United States military to an all-volunteer force.
I did not know that.
Yeah, this is coming from the Nixon Foundation. They did a great job, and we did a little fact-checking to make sure that everything is correct and most of the information there. Of course, you can always have a slant to it and say, well, you know, I know what they're saying, but overall, I think it's pretty accurate.
Right.
He also founded the EPA in 1970 as a response to the rising concern over conservation and pollution. Now, people don't talk about that.
Yeah.
but he did do that.
Well, that's boring. We don't want to talk about that. We want the juicy stuff.
Or the I guess you can say liberal sides wants to take all the credit for everything that is environmental related.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. So he founded that in 1970. Also, again, according to this list here on the Nixon Foundation, Nixon ushered in a new era of judicial restraint by appointing 4 Supreme Court justices. Justice Berger, Chief Justice Blackmun, Chief Justice Powell, and Rehnquist. I know more about Rehnquist than any of the other ones. Anyways, a lot of positive things.
Well, that's one of the things that we see is that's a good way to control the narrative in any nation or any organization is to diminish the accomplishments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, all that stuff is true, but we're ignoring this. It's like nobody's ignoring this big glaring elephant.
And we will talk about that as well.
Yeah. We've been talking about it for, 30, 40-something years? It's like,
that's right.
It's like there were
50.
Good, exactly.
Almost 50 years.
Yeah. So and we see that not just with him, but with other things that we have these big glaring issues in this country. And it's like, that's true. Let's look at some of the positives and celebrate those wins. It's like, no, because doing that is ignoring the big issues.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just not the case.
The approach for most people, I feel like, is reductionist. I mean, you kind of boil things down to their essential components. So if you think about Nixon, you think about Watergate, and that's it. Like, he must have not done anything else as a president. Yeah. And that's certainly not true.
Right. There was also, he dedicated $100 million to begin the war on cancer. And then something else important, he opened the doors for women in collegiate sports when he signed the Title IX in 1972, which is a civil rights law preventing gender bias at colleges and universities receiving federal aid, which is good. I mean, women should celebrate that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also, he initiated and oversaw the peaceful desegregation of Southern schools.
That's a big one we don't talk about.
People just completely malign him. They should also consider that part.
They want to give that straight to Kennedy. They want to give that. Kennedy did that. The young, handsome guy, he's the one that did
that. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
Not the case.
And there's so many other things. Of course, he authorized a joint work between the FBI and special task forces to eliminate organized crime, and then he became the first president to give Native Americans the right to tribal self-determination by ending the policy of forced assimilation and returning their sacred lands.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, he got a lot done.
Yeah.
He got a lot done. There was a lot of good that came out of that administration.
Yeah.
And the country, even today, is that much better for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's also many other things. In 1972, he participated in the Strategic Arms Limitation Talks. That really helped the Cold War period, because if that hadn't happened, that standoff would have precipitated into an all-out war.
That's right.
And so that helped tremendously. He signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, again, between U.S. and Soviet Russia. He was the first president to visit the People's Republic of China.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, like today we can look back and say, I don't know if that's good or bad, because a lot of our businesses went to China under that those policies that came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, if they had not gone to China, the standard of living in America would have been out of reach most Americans.
That's true. That's
so I know the cheap goods that break down easily, kind of, you know, the philosophy, man, it's coming out of China, it's going to break down or whatever. I get it. But at the same time, the cheapness that you can afford it, that affordability came through that through the treaties that were signed for to be able to allow businesses to use China as their factory.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. And well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, where do you think this mindset comes from? Because most of that stuff I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Where do you think this mindset comes from? Of just setting all the positives aside and just focusing on the one glaring negative.
Yeah, it's human nature. It's human nature because it's also political. Because once you can blackball somebody, then it's pretty much done.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing people will focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And if the media is corrupt, and that happens a lot, then that candidate or that person or that personality is pretty much done.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah,
and we're living in the cancel culture. It means once you're canceled, buddy, you can try all you want to. You're done.
You're done.
We're gonna relentlessly go after you and do whatever we can. And if you find even a tiny ounce of something, we're going to stay on it and we're gonna make it a huge Everest.
And it's masqueraded as accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, if you are perfect and don't have anything to hide, then you have nothing to fear.
Right.
But it's like nobody is. Even you, the persecutors, aren't perfect. It's just you're not
sure, but you're
important
the ones
enough or impactful enough for anyone to want to go after.
Right. Yeah, or you're the ones aiming the light in this this interrogation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's about if a story is being written, you want to control it.
Sure.
And so that's the way you control it, is you diminish the good and you shine a spotlight on what you want people to focus on.
Yeah.
There was also the Paris Peace Accords in 1973 that ended the Vietnam War. So close to 500,000, half a million troops.
Yeah.
It's time to come home. That's
huge,
he's done. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But sort of has been forgotten.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also all the policies that led to bringing some kind of involvement in the Middle East and curbing Russia's influence. Hey, look, the old Russian bloc hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
It's still there and it's just as powerful, albeit we don't see the USSR on top of it, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm. It's odd to think about, like, because I was born in 92, so it's odd to think about the USSR being a thing that people dealt with. But there's people like alive in our church right now who remember that whole, you know,
I remember it.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. USSR.
That's insane.
And when we would have Olympic Games, it was great to see who's leading, USA or USSR. USA, yes. The final medal tally. I mean, that was a big deal.
That rivalry.
Cannot let
real.
USSR win.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
because
insane.
To us as Christians, that was the ultimate slap in the face that how can a Christian nation lose to a communist nation?
Mm.
We cannot do that.
Yeah.
So that was just us in India cheering.
That's
pretty cool. I mean, that becomes much bigger than just a sports competition.
Yeah,
that's
and you
like a matter
also,
of national pride.
I don't know how much Russian, like Russia was there or the USSR was influenced in India, but you were also much closer. We had like a whole ocean apart.
India was very close to USSR.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like this, India, Pakistan. But President Nixon also helped in that war between India and Pakistan. If he hadn't stepped in, it would have been an all-out war. If Pakistan had initiated this skirmish, and then before you know it, it was about to go to war.
Yeah.
And so anyways, but after that point, during the Cold War period on, it was Pakistan and United States. They became allies.
Mm.
India and Russia.
Wow.
And that was very tragic. For us, we watched that and we were like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, as Christians.
Yeah, we didn't care for that. Wow. We didn't like it one bit.
Wow.
And we had so many cultural interchanges happening between Russia and India.
Wow.
Really?
It was just tired of it. Seeing all the dances that were dancing over there and all the dances they dance in India. And it was just like, can we be done with this?
I didn't realize that the influence was that strong. Because I thought y'all were very close in proximity, but I guess that cultural seepage coming in.
Yeah, it was Pakistan became good allies under General Zia-ul-Haq with America, and then India was like with Prime Minister Indira Gandhi was very tight with the communist bloc with USSR.
Wow.
And we as Christians, and not just Christians, but also educated and aware Indians, were not happy with that. It's like, why are we aligning ourselves with Russia? That's not a win situation at all.
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about, just aligning yourself with the right people.
Right.
You know, if you surround yourself with the wrong people, you know, you might come out on top in the moment.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it never works.
Yeah. Never works.
Ultimately,
never
it's going to impact the trajectory of your life. And when, you know, we talk about President Nixon, we've got to talk about Watergate.
Right.
We have to bring that up because that was such a pivotal moment. It was such a moment that's kind of etched in our nation's history.
Yeah.
For the benefit of our audience, because I know there are some of our listeners who are a little bit on the younger side and may not be quite as familiar with Watergate and all the things that kind of transpired there, what it actually means. Dr. Shaw, can you give us kind of a brief overview of what the Watergate scandal was and what was involved? Why is it such a big deal?
Well, before I do that, just one more quick one is during this 1973 Yom Kippur War, because this sort of applies to our context today. Nixon, President Nixon, supported Israel with help, which President or Prime Minister Golda Meir of Israel said that it really helped their nation.
Yeah.
So under Nixon, Israel was definitely helped.
Yeah.
The dude's checking all the boxes.
He's hitting them.
On level.
He's hitting them, man.
Right. But then, of course, came the Watergate scandal. As you know, in August the 8th, 1974, he announced his decision to resign as president of the United States. And it was about, and again, just kind of giving a nutshell of what really happened there, is some of his aides or some people who are connected to them were spying or involved in a burglary of the Democratic headquarters in the Watergate Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big scandal. Like, how in the world could this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening? And initially it was looked upon as just a haphazard burglary. I mean, this is, if you're really going to do something that intense, would you carry it out this way? It is such a low-level way of getting in and trying to do
like an amateur job.
Amateur job. That's a great word I'm looking for. I couldn't find it. But and then it blew up from there. And is he connected? Are we the whole team connected? And then before you know it,
everyone's
did he know or did he not know? That was the big issue. And back then, it was when it first happened, it was everybody was like, he does not know. He has no clue. Even his reaction was like, well, we kind of few choice words included. It's like, who the blankety blank is behind this? But then, of course, investigations and this and that. And then ultimately, August the 8th, 1974, he resigned.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was it ever in that investigation, was it ever like explicitly confirmed whatever level of involvement there was, or was it just kind of like heavily implied and then he resigned? What was
yeah,
that?
I would say the latter.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is before my time. Have I done thorough investigation myself? Of course not. But I've just gone by what I've heard and found a balanced way of viewing that little period, the little spike in our nation's history.
Yeah.
And a great book out there, if you really want to get into it, is Roger Morris's book, Richard Milhouse Nixon. That was his name. And it's a great book, The Rise of an American Politician. And this one came out in 1990. And, I mean, it covers...
That's a volume right there. That's a tome.
Yeah.
Covers everything. Now, I have here and there opened it up and read portions of it. So I'll be the first to tell you I haven't read every single page of this book. But yeah, I have read portions of this book. And it's a good book to read. And so that's Roger Morris's Richard Milhouse Nixon is a great biography to read if you want to know more about him.
I love that. And, you know, it's one of those things as well. Well, did you have another one that you wanted to plug before we move on?
Well, this is Nixon's own book called Leaders. And this one came out in 1980, I believe. 1982. So about almost like 8 years or so.
I didn't know he wrote a book.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, he did. Now, what is really cool about this book is I found it at a book sale, a bookstore, and it actually has his autograph in it.
What?
There.
Look. You held on to that till the very end. You had a book signed by Richard Nixon.
I haven't.
You kept quiet for the whole episode.
And I haven't.
Why didn't we lead with that?
That's crazy.
I know. And I got it for $3.
That's insane.
They had no idea what they had.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They would not have sold that. Somebody was probably asleep behind the counter when they sold that.
Yeah.
$3. That's pretty sick.
And it's a great book, by the way. It has chapters on Winston Churchill, Charles de Gaulle, Douglas MacArthur, Nikita Khrushchev, and all these guys, and a little bit on Ben Gurion, Israeli Prime Minister. So a lot of good stuff in this book. And again, I haven't read every bit of it, but I've read a couple of the profiles, and he did a great job.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome. Now I don't even know what to say. I can't believe you have a book signed by Richard Nixon. We're just sitting here shooting
Richard
the breeze
Nixon's
like nothing happened.
Signed by him.
And it's like, by the way, I've got the president's autograph. That's pretty sick.
I might want to
see that after.
Sure. So is it autobiographical or is it a summary of the different relationships?
Yeah, the subtitle. No. I mean, he didn't. Maybe he met Churchill, not that I know of. But it's subtitled Profiles and Reminiscences of Men Who Have Shaped the Modern World.
Yeah,
that's the book. And
that's cool.
And so he gives his insights, his experiences, and his evaluations of some of these great leaders. And immediately we'll say, well, he wasn't one, right? People will say that based on the Watergate issue. He wasn't one, but come on. Really investigate for yourself and know where you can say, yes, he messed up.
True.
And then to say, well, there are a lot of other places that he was successful.
True. Will we say that David was not a great king?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, he was a great leader, but he messed up too.
Yeah, messed up big time.
Does a mistake exclude you from being considered a good leader?
Even an extremely costly mistake.
Yeah.
Can you still be a good king? I mean, was he a man after God's own heart or not?
Yeah, exactly.
The Bible says it. I mean, can I say, well, he slept with someone that wasn't his wife, and he murdered her husband.
If David were to come to my house, I'm talking about King David.
Right.
I'm talking about the man who killed Goliath as a young lad. I'm talking about the man known as man after God's own heart. If he were to come and stay at my house, I would be awake that night.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
Right.
I wouldn't trust him.
True.
Love him to death, and I praise God for him because he became...
He's like, can I lull you to sleep with my harp?
No,
he's
thank
like,
you.
I'm going to be awake a little bit. I'm just excited to have you here. That's why.
Yeah, that's all.
I'm going to walk in the other room. I'm going to go with you.
It reminds me...
I'm gonna eyes on you.
It really reminds me of the Proverbs that you still do lead our Sunday night college and career, and we did a series through the Proverbs one time, and it really reminds me a lot of that. Those first 10 that Solomon was writing to his son, and a lot of them were just watch the company you keep, because you would go through life with a desire to do good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you have become corrupt. It's just that you weren't wise in the company you kept.
Yeah.
And we even, I think we have a show on that We have a show on that coming up in a couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But absolutely.
That's just kind of what it reminds me of. And it's great wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs.
Yeah. And of course, Nixon would fall into that category that we can learn from him. And he became an advisor to other presidents like Reagan and Bush and even Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not agree with them, of course. I don't. But at the same time, we can say this man did make a big impact.
That's right.
Okay.
We can wrap up for us. Okay. So go to us. You can stay here if you like. They're literally just